Take your Bibles, turn to Joshua 24, verse number 15. We've been on this verse for several weeks, and we're going to continue here this morning. Probably have maybe two or three more things to pull out of this verse that I think will be a help. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15. Of course, Joshua here is coming to the end of his life. He gathers the children of Israel together, and he gives them some last words, some final words, final instructions here. And notice what he says in verse number 15, if it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord, and of course we looked at that, if it seemed that it's a waste of time, if it seems that it's punishment or wrong or evil, hurtful, you know, many people think that going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and doing all that that you do, some people think that it's hurtful, it's damaging. And Joshua was saying, if it does seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, notice he said, choose you this day. We looked at the word choose you. And notice it's a decision. You've got to decide, and you've got to make that decision. And he said, this day, he said, don't put it off. You look at it today. You decide what you're going to do today. You know, Elijah said similar requests, made similar requests. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve him. And likewise, Joshua here was putting the children of Israel on notice that they needed to make that decision of whom they were going to serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites. And we looked at that, those gods and the choices that Joshua gave them, Jehovah God, the God of your fathers on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites. And we looked at that subject, the choices that they had to serve. And last week we looked at, but as for me and my house, he wanted to make sure that he understood what they were going to do. He understood that his house was united in this, that it wasn't divided, and that they were together on this one and united on this one, and this one was important. And it said, as for me and my house. Now, this morning, we're going to look at another phrase there that jumps out and I think is important. But before we do that, we're going to pray. And then we're going to have a special. And then we're going to have the message. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for these folks, Lord, for their faithfulness, for them being here. And, Lord, I realize today is a Super Bowl. And I realize a lot of activities, a lot of festive things going on. And Lord, but the most important thing that will happen this morning is right here behind this pulpit and this message that will be preached. The most important thing that will happen tonight, Lord, is the message that will be brought from this pulpit again and from pulpits all over America. Bless and now and meet with us and, Lord, give us exactly what we need. We need to hear from heaven. So use the message, use the scriptures and the verse to speak to our hearts. And we'll thank you. We'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua here in chapter 24, verse 15, again, he is trying to put the children of Israel on the spot and saying, you know, you need to decide whom you will serve, and you need to make that decision. He was also informing them who he was going to follow and who he was going to serve and who his family were going to choose. And he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you who you're going to serve. Joshua was saying is this, and this is the whole message, and don't miss it there. And we're going to look at, notice, look at verse 15 just so we can get it. And it's, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, notice what he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And I'm going to look at that word serve this morning. Joshua was saying, you need to look at this. You need to sit down and analyze this. You need to take a look at it and study it and realize that you've got to make a decision, and you've got to make that decision on who you're going to serve. And you know what? We look at this and we say, well, that's pretty simple. That's pretty, I mean, the gods of your fathers which are on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And you say that decision is pretty simple. Well, Joshua was trying to get them to understand that they was saying, listen, you're going to be serving someone. You're going to serve someone. You're going to be serving someone. So you need to decide who you're going to serve. And you may serve them just because you chose not to serve them. By decision, you'll choose to serve the other. Now, here's the thing. Choose you whom you will serve. Now, the Hebrew word for serve It's abad, and it means this. It means to work, or by implication, to serve or to enslave. That's interesting. To keep in bondage, to be a bondman, or to be held for bond service, or to labor. That's what the word servant is. So basically what Joshua was asking the people, what he was telling the people is this. He said, children of Israel, you need to decide, you need to choose you this day whom you will serve or whom you will be in bondage to. Who you're going to labor for, who you're going to serve, and who you're going to be enslaved to. You're going to serve someone. You're going to be enslaved to someone. You're either going to be a slave to Jehovah God or you're going to be a slave to something else. So Joshua was asking him, who are you going to be a slave to? Who are you going to be in bondage to? Who are you going to labor for, and who are you going to enslave yourself to? That's a good question, because we all have to answer that question. Who is it that we're going to enslave ourselves to? Now, at first you may think, you may realize, well, wait a minute, I don't want to be a slave at all. I don't want to be a slave to no one, and I don't even want to be a servant, and certainly not to the devil, and certainly not to sin, and certainly not to anyone. But the truth is, you're going to serve someone. You're going to serve someone. You can't serve both. The Bible teaches us that. You can't serve two masters, for you will either love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. You can't serve both, because they are contrary to each other. So you're going to serve someone, and Joshua's saying you need to decide. You need to decide who you're going to serve, who you're going to enslave yourself to, who you're going to be a slave for. I'm going to give you four things quickly, and then we'll close. But number one, when you look at who's greatest in God's kingdom, when you look at who's greatest in the kingdom of God, it's the servant of all. People want greatness, and people want to be great, and we all aspire to greatness, and we all want to be great, and in our fields, and in our expertise, and in our careers, but all we have is the philosophy of the world, and the philosophy of the world is contrary to the philosophy of the Lord. The philosophy of the world is, hey, you choose you to serve yourself, and you, it's all for me, and what can I get out of it, and how can I be promoted, and how can I climb the ladder? But the philosophy of the Lord is a little bit different. To be greatest in God's kingdom, you must be the servant of all. In man's kingdom, you serve yourself. In God's kingdom, you serve others. And when you look at who's going to be greatest in God's kingdom, it's going to be the servant of all. Secondly, I need to, and this is the major part of the message here. Here's, the burdens of serving the Lord initially. And don't miss this. The burdens of serving the Lord initially seem greater than those of serving other gods. Listen to me. The burdens of serving the Lord initially seem greater than those of serving other gods. The load or the burden that you carry serving the Lord may seem great. You know what I mean. By the way, anybody out there with me? I mean, those that have chosen to serve the Lord, those that have chosen to be the servant of the Lord. I mean, man, you got to be here at Sunday school. And some of you got to get up early and run the buses and run the van, and then you, after Sunday school, you come in here to the church service, and then some of you got to come back for, you got to go take the kids back, and you're out gone for a half hour, an hour and a half, taking the bus riders back, and some of you got to come back early for choir practice. Some of you, there's a lot to do. You know, the burden of coming back Sunday night, and especially on Super Bowl Sunday, it's tough, watching the Super Bowl on TV, or getting to hear this raspy, crusty old preacher preach the Bible. Well, that's a good choice. But it's difficult. Coming back on Wednesday night for midweek Bible study, that burden is hard to bear, and coming back on Saturday for soul winning. I mean, it's just a hard schedule. If you don't think it's hard, it's maybe because you're not doing anything. But you've got to read your Bible daily. You know, I was in Sunday school, and Brother Mark, no, the phone doesn't go off and say, you got to read your Bible. You know, but the Holy Spirit does. You know, you got to read your Bible daily. You got to study daily, and you got to prepare, and you got to pray, and you got to meet with the Lord, and spill your heart with the Lord, and talk to Him. And you got prayer time. You got Bible study time. You got to tithe. 10% of your income, really? I don't remember the last time that I gave 10%. That's the least you could do. And then during hard times and all of this wears on you and it burns you down. And listen, you've got to serve the Lord in so many other ways, driving a bus, you know, cutting the grass and cleaning the church. But you name it, it's just a lot of work. Though at first this servitude towards the Lord may seem hard, though this serving the Lord may seem difficult, and though this enslaving yourself to the Lord may appear difficult. You know, the giving up your career as an army aviator, as a captain in the army, and giving it up to go serve the Lord. And at first it may seem so difficult, and it seems that you're enslaving yourself to the Lord, and it may appear like that. But you know what? It doesn't hold a candle to what serving the other gods lead to. When you serve the other gods, here's the bottom line. When you serve the other gods, it leads to serving yourself. Yourself. See, serving the other gods is easy. Serving the gods of the Amorites in which land you dwell in, that's pretty easy. Serving the gods of your father, which are on the other side of the flood, you know, that's pretty easy. It's easy to serve an idol. It's easy to serve the gods of the Amorites. It's easy to serve those gods. Think about it. It doesn't take much to serve an idol. It doesn't take much enslaving. You don't enslave yourself to serve an idol. I mean, you light a candle every now and then. You say a prayer every now and then. And you give something to your God every now and then. That sounds pretty easy. Think about it. Take your Bibles. Go to Psalm 115. We've looked at it. We've read it. Let me get you to read it one more time. Psalm 115. I can understand why people would choose to serve other gods. Why? Because it's easy. Other gods are very limited. Other gods are, it requires very little sacrifice. Very little sacrifice of time. Very little sacrifice of expense. Very little sacrifice of, you name it. Look at Psalm 115. Look at verse number 1. Notice what the Bible says here. It says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God, notice what the psalmist says, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Notice their gods or their idols are what? Silver and what? Gold. The work of men's hands. They have, what's the next word? Mouths, but they speak not. What's the next word? Eyes have they, but they see not. They have, what's the next word? Ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. That's a pretty good God. Hey, he can't hear you. It doesn't matter what you pray to him, he can't hear you. You with me? So why bother praying? He can't see you, so it doesn't matter what you do. And when you're by yourself or what you do in private, it doesn't matter what you do because he can't see you. He can't smell you. You may stink like the bottom of a pit. You may smell the heaven. Guess what? That idol's not going to smell you. He's got hands, but he can't handle. He can't help you. He can't lift you up. He's got feet, but he can't go anywhere to where you are, to where your need is. So guess what? You basically, you don't have to do anything. He's very limited. There's very little maintenance to care for this other God. Why? Because he can't see, he can't hear, he can't smell, he can't speak, he can't handle, he can't walk. Man, just set him up there and let him be. That's all you need. That's my God right there. That's my God. That's the easy route, and if you don't want much, and you don't want to sacrifice much, and you don't want to give much, and you don't want to have much of a return, you know what? That's the God that you can serve right there. Because very little maintenance, very little requirement. Because he can't see, he can't hear, he can't speak, he can't talk, he can't handle, he can't walk. But here's the problem. The problem is serving these gods will lead you into serving the biggest God of all, or the biggest idol of all. Who can tell me who that is? Self. Yourself. I'm not even going to bring the Satan into this, because nobody in their right mind would would worship the devil, would worship Satan. You'd have to be out of your mind. So I'm not even going to bring Satan into here, but you know what? If we were to take a poll, I wonder how many of us serve ourselves. See, maybe we have decided to serve ourselves, and we have decided to be enslaved to ourselves. And what happens is, by serving these other gods, by enslaving yourself to these other gods, you will be enslaving yourself to yourself. You'll become your own god. And you will become a slave to yourself. Why? Because that god, a while back, I used this plant, and I'm not about to do it because I've got, anyway, you were here, you know what happened. But you don't have to do much for that plant. You don't have to do much for that god. But what happens is you become your own god, and you become a slave to yourself. Those of you that have been enslaved to sin in the past, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You with me? Boy, it is quiet this morning. Maybe it's Super Bowl Sunday. Maybe you're waiting for the Super Bowl to, yay, go get them, preacher. You become your own god. Those of you that have been enslaved to sin in the past, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you've ever been enslaved to alcohol, you know what it's like. Man, you gotta have it. You know, the Bible talks about it. And hey, boy, you drink and you drink and you drink, and you get beat up, and you don't know how you got beat up. Your eyes are bloodshed. You wake up with a hangover. You don't know where you've been, what you've been doing. And the Bible says, when you wake up, guess what? You want it again. I know that'll cure that all. Another beer. You're enslaved to yourself. You're enslaved to alcohol. Those of you that have been enslaved to drugs. And the addiction to drug. And guess what? You become a slave to that drug. All of a sudden, that drug becomes your god. All of a sudden, you become your god. And you'll do anything that you've got to do to get money to purchase those drugs. So you sell your mom out. You sell your wife out. You sell your kids out. You sell anything so that you can get some money. So you can do those drugs. That sounds like bondage to me. That sounds like slavitude to me. And, you know, anything else, gambling and, you know, smoking. You know, my mom used to smoke, and she smoked to the very last day. And God bless her. But you know what? She was addicted to that stinking cigarette. You know, I'm not your judge, but I'm here to tell you become addicted. You become enslaved to that sin. Those of you that have been enslaved to pornography, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And that, all of a sudden, that becomes your god, and you don't like it, and you don't want to be enslaved, and you want to quit deep down inside your heart. You want to give it up, and you want to give alcohol up, and you want to give drugs up, and you want to give smoking and gambling and pornography, and you want to give all of that up. But you can't, because you become a slave to it. You see? You want to quit, but you can't. See, what's happened is you become your own god, and that crutch has become your god, and the end thereof is destruction. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It starts off as the enticement of serving idols and the enticement of serving other gods. You know, that little maintenance, little requirement, you don't need to do anything, you know. You know, you serve God in your backyard. You know, you hold church services in your home, and you hold church in your nature, you know, in tune with God. And yeah, you're more in tune with yourself than you are with God. Before God destroyed the inhabitants of the earth, save Noah and his family, the world had chosen to serve other gods. They chose to serve themselves. The Bible says in Genesis 6:5, let me just read it to you. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Notice, in that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Why? Because they had become their own god. Because they had started to worship themselves. Because they had started serving themselves, and they became their own god. Before God scattered the people at the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, the Bible says this, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. And they have all one language, and now this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. God said, let us go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Why? Because they had become their own God. They were doing everything that they could imagine, wanting to do their own things, uniting themselves to this end. How did that happen when they all of a sudden turned from serving Jehovah God and all of a sudden started serving their own gods, which led to serving themselves? Take your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I wholeheartedly believe that you ought to hate the sin and love the sinner. And sometimes in our pharisaical position, we tend to forget that. But it's clearly shown here, Romans chapter 1. These were, I believe, people just like you and I are. But notice the digression here. Notice the perversion here. Notice how it starts. Look at verse number 21. Romans 1 verse 21. Notice what the Bible says, because when they, what's the next word? Because when they knew God, notice they glorified him not as God. All of a sudden they came to the decision that they were not going to serve God and they were not going to glorify God, and it wasn't going to happen. Notice they knew God and they glorified him not as God. Neither were what? What's the next word? That thankful. Can anybody read out there? Neither were thankful, but became vain, in verse 21, in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the what?
Glory.
The glory of the uncorruptible God into a what? Image made like to what? Corruptible man. And that means they decided to make, you know, it's an incredible thing. Look up here. You know, God said, he said, hey, let us make man in our image. And all of a sudden we have taken God and we have said, let us make God in our image. You with me? And we've gone from serving Jehovah God and from serving this Bible to serving other gods and serving ourselves. Verse 23, look at this. And changed, Romans 1, 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You know, you can make anything your God. That tree is my, that plant is my God right there. It's great. All I got to do is water it about once a month or something like that. The minute that I see that plant start to shrivel up, then I add some water. You with me? We had a plant like that. There's no green thumbs in our family. And everything that I touch dies. And that's why I refuse to shake your hand, Sonny. You need to come back when Sonny says, man, I'm fine with it. It's good. Fair enough. Good for me. And but you know, actually, this one's better because you don't even have to water this one. You need to dust it every now and then. I wish we would. But it needs requires a little maintenance. And so they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. Hey, anything can be our God. We can worship anything. Look at verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Why? Because all of a sudden they became their own God. Look at verse 25. Who changed the, what's the next word? Who changed the truth of God into a what? And worshiped and served. Did you get that? And worshiped and served and worshiped and served and worshiped and served the, what's the next word? The creature. More than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. We see all of a sudden they're going from worshiping, changing the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, that have eyes and see not, ears and hear not, mouths and speak not, hands and handle not, feet and walk not. They've changed that, and all of a sudden they get to the point where they change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. How did that happen? When all of a sudden they decided to not to, knowing God, not glorifying him as God. Deciding to make their own gods and have their own gods. Decided that, hey, we're not going to serve Jehovah God. That's a lot of maintenance. That's a lot of work. And that's a lot of serving. That's a lot of slavitude. Man, to be here for the services and to run the buses and to teach Sunday school and to be back Sunday night and Wednesday night and Saturday soul winning and this and that. That's a lot of work. I don't want to be enslaved to that. Okay, look at who these people were enslaved to. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this cause, notice how sad this is, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of that error, of their error which was meet. Notice it continued into the sin of homosexuality. And even as they did not like to retain God in their image, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. How did it all start? They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature. They served themselves more than the creator. While serving other gods and serving yourself, it may seem easy and maybe the best thing to do. It may seem, well, that's an easy thing to do. When it's all said and done, it leads to destruction, as seen with the flood. Proverbs 16:25, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So Joshua gathered the people together and said, hey, choose you this day. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Wait a minute, I'm not talking about serving water or serving milk. I'm talking about who you're going to be enslaved to, who you're going to be in bondage to, who you're going to serve. When it's all said and done, though enslaving yourself to God may seem a grueling task. You know, having to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and having to be in bondage to God and enslaved to the Lord, and though it may seem huge and unable to carry that burden, the truth of the matter is it's quite less painful than the alternative. Quite less painful than the alternative. Jesus said in Matthew, he says, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you what? Rest. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He said this, he said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, preacher, how can he say that? You know, coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, doing all that, and you've heard it, may seem grueling, but you know what? It's a lot easier than being hooked on drugs. Well, we're not talking about hooked on phonics here. We're talking about hooked on drugs and hooked on alcohol and hooked on pornography. You know, it's amazing. I don't know what the pack of cigarettes cost. Brother Ruck, how much is that pack of cigarettes? it's out of this world. Or, you know, and you think it's harder to come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? You think it's burdenous to give 10% of your money, to give your tithes to the Lord? How much you spend on liquor? How much you spend on alcohol? How much you spend on drugs? Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you're going to realize that I'm not the taskmaster that you think I am. For you, he said, take my yoke. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, many times people become labored and heavy laden because they have become servants of themselves. And many times, you know, they're serving themselves and they're enslaved to themselves and they're servants of their own will and servants of their own sin and their own desire and their own God. And And Jesus says, come unto me. You come unto me and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest once you take my yoke upon you. Once you learn to me, once you'll find rest for your soul. You'll find out that being a slave to me is a lot easier than being a slave to the devil and to being a slave to other gods and to being enslaved to yourself. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. From a distance, you know, you look at it and boy, it may seem like Jesus said, you know, from a distance, it may seem that I'm the taskmaster and I'm the evildoer and it may seem like I'm a dictator and that I'm a slave driver. But when you get up close, once you decide to serve him, once you decide to become his servant, you'll find that his yoke and his burden is light. The rewards of serving the Lord, let me continue, we've got to quit. The rewards of serving the Lord outweighs those of serving other gods. And even serving yourselves. That God cannot do much for you. He's got no eyes that can see. He's got no ears that can hear. He's got no mouth that can speak. He's got no hands that can handle. He's got no feet that he can go anywhere. And the rewards of serving the Lord, Jehovah God, outweighs those of serving other gods and those of serving yourself. Listen, not only will you get peace and contentment and joy and happiness. Matthew 16:27, the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Matthew 25:23, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Matthew 25:34, come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Do you get that? All that comes from serving the Lord. All that comes from enslaving yourself to the Lord. And 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. One can't begin to understand and to know all that God has for his faithful servants. This morning I ask you, who do you want to be enslaved to? Who do you want to be in bondage? You're going to serve someone. Joshua gathered them all together. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. You're going to have to serve someone. You can either serve Jehovah God, or you can serve those other gods, which is zero maintenance, which will begin and lead you to serve yourself. But it's your choice who you're going to serve. Do you want to be enslaved to the devil and his taskmasters and his idols and the gods of your fathers, and you want to be enslaved to yourself? Do you want to be your own God and you decide, you set the standard, you set the course, you said you become your own God? Or do you want to serve the Lord? Will you enslave yourself to the Lord? Now, it may seem hard. It may seem grueling. But when it's all said and done, you'll be glad you did. I'll close with this. When you look at those that have chosen to serve the Lord, and those who have chosen to labor with the Lord, and those who have chosen to enslave themselves to the Lord, I'm here to tell you, you're among great company. Couldn't help but think of Joshua, the servant of the Lord. I couldn't help but think of Moses. Moses, who met with God face to face as a man, speaking to his friend. Servant of the Lord. I thought of Paul and all that he had to endure as a servant of the Lord. You choose to be the servant of the Lord, and you'll be in the likes of the Lord Jesus himself, who in Philippians chapter 2 said, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. So this morning I come to you and choose you this day whom you will serve, whom you will enslave yourself to, whom you will be in bondage to. Well, preacher, that's a hard schedule. Well, yeah, so is that of a recovering alcoholic. So is that of a recovering drug addict. So is that of those recovering from pornography or from smoking or from any other things. Homosexuality, how did it get started? By serving other gods. I'll close with this. I thought of Elvis Presley, Brother Hiles, when he was in, I think he was in Texas, and he was taking a sermon message up. I believe that's how the story goes. And he got in the elevator, and in the elevator was that Mr. Elvis Presley. And Brother House had a chance to witness to him and to talk to him about Jesus and talk to him about accepting the Lord. And he said, Elvis, you know, we're all sinners and we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. And that sin, the Bible says there's a payment for that sin. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. If you've sinned, and we all have sinned, you've got to pay for that sin. And a payment for that sin is going to hell and then destruction in hell for eternity. He said, but God loved you so much, and God loved all of us so much. He loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came to this world to die on a cross, and when he died on a cross, he was paying for your sins and for my sins. He was paying for the sins of the whole world. They've been paid for. Everything that you've done in the past, everything that you're doing right now, everything that you're going to do in the future, it's done paid for. It's under the blood. It's been paid for. All God requires is for you to choose him, for you to accept him, for you to receive him as Savior. And he said, Elvis, have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? And his response was this. He says, yes, I have. He said, when I was a little boy, my mama took me to the old Arbor revivals and the Bush revivals. And I went there and I got saved and I trusted Christ. And Brother House said this. He said, well, Elvis, if you're saved and you're going to heaven and you've trusted Christ, he said, why aren't you serving the Lord? Why aren't you serving God? And why aren't you in busy for God and in church and serving the Lord? He said this. He says, because I don't want to be in bondage to the Christian life. He said, I don't want to be a slave to the Christian life. You know, Elvis died in bondage to drugs and in bondage to alcohol and in bondage to women. He died enslaved to all of that because he didn't want to be enslaved to Jehovah God. From a distance, Christian, it may seem difficult. Maybe you're here this morning and you never trusted Christ and you never put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God made it so easy that all the hard part, he knew that we were going to blow it. He knew that we were going to be sinners. And he gave the greatest thing that he has only begotten, the greatest thing that he had, his only begotten son, to die on the cross for your sins. He paid for your sins. He died for your sins. All we have to do is accept him. All we have to do is submit to that and say, you know what, Lord, I believe in my heart that you died for my sins, that you paid for my sins, and I want to submit to that. I want to accept that. I want to accept that payment that you made for me. And the Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we call on God, he'll save us. And that means that he'll give us a home in heaven. He'll give us eternal life. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, boy, that ought to be your first decision. That'll be your first choice, is to trust Jesus as your Savior. And then if you're here this morning and you have trusted Christ and you're a Christian, you know, in Sunday school, Brother Rook made mention that they were all called Christians there at Antioch, and because they had made a decision, they had made a choice to follow Christ. And they had chose to serve Christ, and they chose to enslave themselves to Christ. And the Bible says that these men were addicted to the gospel. They were addicted to Christ. They made that decision. Perhaps maybe you're saved this morning, you're a Christian, and you're here, but you need to choose whom you're going to serve. You kind of, like Elijah said, that you're kind of halted between two opinions, serve the Lord or serve these other gods. Not bad gods, just, you know, me, and I've got things to do, and I've got places to go, and I'm going, and you need to decide whom you're going to serve. So if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, I beg you, I plead with you, make that choice. And then if you're here and you have been saved and you're a Christian, then you need to decide this morning whom you will serve. Whether the Lord Jehovah God, or whether the gods on the other side of the flood, or whether the gods of the Amorites, or the gods in whom you make to include yourself. It's your choice. I can't decide that for you. I know what Joshua did. He gathered all of Israel together, and he said, let me make it perfectly clear. You choose you this day whom you will serve, whom you'll be enslaved to. He said, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. That's your decision. Father, I've got to quit. It's late. Please bless this morning. Help us, Lord, with the invitation. Lord, there's one here that's never trusted Christ as their Savior. Lord, may this morning. May they come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Please speak to our hearts, Lord. May you work even now to speak to our hearts, to touch our hearts, and Lord, to grab that a hold of that heart, that cold heart, that stony heart, and make it soft and make it pliable for your will. Then, Lord, if those that are Christians here, Lord, may they choose today whom they will serve. They're going to have to decide. They're going to make a choice whether they like it or not. Lord, may they make the right choice. Please bless this morning. Word of the invitation.